Chapter 27. Heart. So she waited, and allowed me the full value in silver again, but I found she did not do the same to the rest of her customers. Some time after this, as I was at work, and very melancholy, she begins to ask me what the matter was, as she was used to do. I told her my heart was heavy, I had little work, and nothing to live on, and knew not what course to take. She laughed, and told me I must go out again, and try my fortune. It might be that I might meet with another piece of plate. Oh, mother! Says I, that is a trade I have no skill in, and if I should be taken I am undone at once. Says she, I could help you to a schoolmistress, that shall make you as dexterous as herself. I trembled at that proposal, for hitherto I had had no confederates, nor any acquaintance among that tribe. But she conquered all my modesty, and all my fears, and in a little time, by the help of this confederate, I grew as impudent a thief, and as dexterous as ever mole cutpurse was, though, if fame does not belie her, not half so handsome. The comrade she helped me to dealt in three sorts of craft, viz. Shoplifting, stealing of shopbooks and pocketbooks, and taking off gold watches from the ladies' sides. And this last she did so dexterously that no woman ever arrived to the performance of that art so as to do it like her. I liked the first and the last of these things very well, and I attended her some time in the practice, just as a deputy attends a midwife, without any pay. At length she put me to practice. She had shown me her art, and I had several times unhooked a watch from her own side with great dexterity. At last she showed me a prize, and this was a young lady big with child, who had a charming watch. The thing was to be done as she came out of church. She goes on one side of the lady, and pretends, just as she came to the steps, to fall, and fell against the lady with so much violence as put her into a great fright, and both cried out terribly. In the very moment that she jostled the lady, I had hold of the watch, and holding it the right way, the start she gave, drew the hook out, and she never felt it. I made off immediately, and left my schoolmistress, to come out of her pretended fright gradually, and the lady too, and presently the watch was missed. Says my comrade, then it was those rogues that thrust me down, I warrant thee. I wonder the gentlewoman did not miss her watch before, then we might have taken them. She humored the thing so well, that nobody suspected her, and I was got home a full hour before her. This was my first adventure in company. The watch was indeed a very fine one, and had a great many trinkets about it, and my governess allowed us number 20 for it, of which I had half. And thus I was entered a complete thief, hardened to the pitch above all the reflections of conscience or modesty, and to a degree which I must acknowledge I never thought possible in me. Thus the devil, who began, by the help of an irresistible poverty, to push me into this wickedness, brought me on to a height beyond the common rate, even when my necessities were not so great, or the prospect of my misery so terrifying. For I had now got into a little vein of work, and as I was not at a loss to handle my needle, it was very probable, as acquaintance came in, I might have got my bread honestly enough. I must say, that if such a prospect of work had presented itself at first, when I began to feel the approach of my miserable circumstances, had such a prospect of getting my bread, by working presented itself then, I had never fallen into this wicked trade, or into such a wicked gang as I was now embarked with. But practice had hardened me, and I grew audacious to the last degree, and the more so, because I had carried it on so long, and had never been taken. For, in a word, my new partner in wickedness and I went on together so long, without being ever detected, that we not only grew bold, but we grew rich, and we had at one time 1 and 20 gold watches in our hands. I remember that one day being a little more serious than ordinary, and finding I had so good a stock beforehand as I had, for I had near number 200 in money for my share, it came strongly into my mind, no doubt from some kind spirit, if such there be, that at first poverty excited me, and my distresses drove me to these dreadful shifts. So seeing those distresses were now relieved, and I could also get something towards a maintenance by working, and had so good a bank to support me, why should I now not leave off, as they say, while I was well? That I could not expect to go always free, and if I was once surprised, and miscarried, I was undone. This was doubtless the happy minute, when, if I had hearken to the blessed hint, from whatsoever had it came, I had still a cast for an easy life. But my fate was otherwise determined. The busy devil, that so industriously drew me in, had too fast hold of me to let me go back. But as poverty brought me into the mire, so avarice kept me in, till there was no going back. As to the arguments which my reason dictated for persuading me to lay down, avarice stepped in and said, "Go on, go on. You have had very good luck. Go on till you have gotten 400 or 500 pounds, and then you shall leave off, and then you may live easy without working at all." Apostrophe, thus I, that was once in the devil's clutches, was held fast there, as with a charm, and had no power to go without the circle, till I was engulfed in labyrinths of trouble too great to get out at all. However, these thoughts left some impression upon me, and made me act with some more caution than before, and more than my directors used for themselves. My comrade, as I called her, but rather she should have been called my teacher, with another of her scholars, was the first in the misfortune. For, happening to be upon the hunt for purchase, they made an attempt upon a linen draper in Cheapside, but were snapped by a Hawkside journeyman, and seized with 2 pieces of cambric, which were taken also upon them. This was enough to lodge them both in Newgate, where they had the misfortune to have some of their former sins brought to remembrance. 2 other indictments being brought against them, and the facts being proved upon them, they were both condemned to die. They both pleaded their bellies, and were both voted quick with child, though my tutoress was no more with child than I was. I went frequently to see them, and condole with them, expecting that it would be my turn next. But the place gave me so much horror, reflecting that it was the place of my unhappy birth, and of my mother's misfortunes, and that I could not bear it, so I was forced to leave off going to see them. And oh, could I have but taken warning by their disasters, I had been happy still, for I was yet free, and had nothing brought against me. But it could not be, my measure was not yet filled up. My comrade, having the brand of an old offender, was executed. The young offender was spared, having obtained a reprieve, but lay starving a long while in prison, till at last she got her name into what they call a circuit pardon, and so came off. This terrible example of my comrade frighted me heartily, and for a good while I made no excursions. But one night, in the neighborhood of my governess's house, they cried fire. Apostrophe, my governess looked out, for we were all up, and cried immediately that such a gentlewoman's house was all of a light fire atop, and so indeed it was. Here she gives me a job. "Now, child," apostrophe says she, "there is a rare opportunity, for the fire being so near, that you may go to it before the street is blocked up with the crowd." Apostrophe, she presently gave me my cue. "Go, child," apostrophe says she, "to the house, and run in, and tell the lady, or anybody you see, that you come to help them, and that you came from such a gentlewoman, that is, one of her acquaintance farther up the street." Apostrophe, she gave me the like cue to the next house, naming another name, that was also an acquaintance of the gentlewoman of the house. Away I went, and, coming to the house, I found them all in confusion, you may be sure. I ran in, and finding one of the maids, "Lord, sweetheart," apostrophe says I, "how came this dismal accident? Where is your mistress? Anyhow does she do? Is she safe? And where are the children? I come from madam to help you." Apostrophe, away runs the maid. "Madam, madam," apostrophe says she, screaming as loud as she could yell, "here is a gentlewoman come from madam to help us. apostrophe the poor woman, half out of her wits, with a bundle under her arm, and two little children, comes toward me. Lord. Madam, apostrophe says I, let me carry the poor children to Madam, apostrophe she desires you to send them, she'll take care of the poor lambs, apostrophe and immediately I takes one of them out of her hand, and she lifts the other up into my arms. Eh, do, for God's sake, apostrophe says she, carry them to her. Oh, thank her for her kindness. Apostrophe have you anything else to secure, Madam? Apostrophe says I, she will take care of it. Apostrophe oh dear. A, apostrophe says she, God bless her, and thank her. Take this bundle of plate, and carry it to her too. Oh, she is a good woman. Oh Lord. We are utterly ruined, utterly undone. Apostrophe and away she runs from me out of her wits, and the maids after her, and away comes I with the two children and the bundle. I was no sooner got into the street, but I saw another woman come to me. Oh! Apostrophe says she, mistress, in a piteous tone, you will let fall the child. Come, this is a sad time, let me help you, and immediately lays hold of my bundle, to carry it for me. No, apostrophe says I, if you will help me, take the child by the hand, and lead it for me, but to the upper end of the street. I'll go with you, and satisfy you for your pains. Apostrophe, she could not avoid going, after what I said. But the creature, in short, was one of the same business with me, and wanted nothing but the bundle. However, she went with me to the door, for she could not help it. When we were come there I whispered her, go, child, apostrophe said I understand your trade. You may meet with purchase enough. Apostrophe, she understood me and walked off. I thundered at the door with the children, and as the people were raised before by the noise of the fire, I was soon let in, and I said, is Madam awake? Pray tell her Mrs. desires the favor of her to take the two children in. Poor lady, she will be undone, their house is all of a flame. Apostrophe, they took the children in very civilly, pitied the family in distress, and away came I with my bundle. One of the maids asked me if I was not to leave the bundle too. I said, no, sweetheart, 'tis to go to another place, it does not belong to them. Apostrophe, I was a great way out of the hurry now, and so I went on, clear of anybody's inquiry, and brought the bundle of plate, which was very considerable, straight home, and gave it to my old governess. She told me she would not look into it, but bade me go out again to look for more. She gave me the like cue to the gentlewoman of the next house to that which was on fire, and I did my endeavor to go, but by this time the alarm of fire was so great, and so many engines playing, and the street so thronged with people, that I could not get near the house whatever I would do. So I came back again to my governess's, and taking the bundle up into my chamber, I began to examine it. It is with horror that I tell what a treasure I found there. 'Tis enough to say that besides most of the family plate, which was considerable, I found a gold chain, an old-fashioned thing, the locket of which was broken, so that I suppose it had not been used some years, but the gold was not the worse for that. Also a little box of burying rings, the lady's wedding ring, and some broken bits of old lockets of gold, a gold watch, and a purse with about number 24 value in old pieces of gold coin, and several other things of value. This was the greatest and the worst prize that ever I was concerned in. For indeed, though, as I have said above, I was hardened now beyond the power of all reflection in other cases, yet it really touched me to the very soul, when I looked into this treasure, to think of the poor disconsolate gentlewoman who had lost so much by the fire besides, and who would think, to be sure, that she had saved her plate and best things. How she would be surprised and afflicted when she should find that she had been deceived, and should find that the person that took her children and her goods had not come, as was pretended, from the gentlewoman in the next street, but that the children had been put upon her without her own knowledge. I say, I confess the inhumanity of this action, moved me very much, and made me relent exceedingly, and tears stood in my eyes upon that subject. But with all my sense of its being cruel and inhuman, I could never find in my heart to make any restitution. The reflection wore off, and I began quickly to forget the circumstances that attended the taking them. Nor was this all, for though by this job I was become considerably richer than before, yet the resolution I had formerly taken, of leaving off this horrid trade, when I had gotten a little more, did not return, but I must still get farther, and more, and the avarice joined so with the success, that I had no more thought of coming to a timely alteration of life, though without it, I could expect no safety, no tranquility in the possession of what I had so wickedly gained. But a little more, and a little more, was the case still. At length, yielding to the importunities of my crime, I cast off all remorse and repentance, and all the reflections on that head turned to no more than this, that I might perhaps come to have one booty more that might complete my desires. But though I certainly had that one booty, yet every hit looked towards another, and was so encouraging to me to go on with the trade, that I had no gust to the thought of laying it down. In this condition, hardened by success, and resolving to go on, I fell into the snare in which I was appointed to meet with my last reward for this kind of life. But even this was not yet, for I met with several successful adventures more in this way of being undone. I remained still with my governess, who was for a while really concerned for the misfortune of my comrade, that had been hanged, and who, it seems, knew enough of my governess, to have sent her the same way, and which made her very uneasy. Indeed, she was in a very great fright. It is true, that when she was gone, and had not opened mouth, to tell what she knew, my governess was easy, as to that point, and perhaps glad she was hanged, for it was in her power, to have obtained a pardon at the expense of her friends. But on the other hand, the loss of her, and the sense of her kindness in not making her market of what she knew, moved my governess to mourn very sincerely for her. I comforted her as well as I could, and she in return hardened me to merit more completely the same fate. However, as I have said, it made me the more wary, and particularly I was very shy of shoplifting, especially among the mercers and drapers, who are a set of fellows that have their eyes very much about them. I made a venture or two among the lace folks and the milliners, and particularly at one shop, where I got notice of two young women who were newly set up, and had not been bred to the trade. There I think I carried off a piece of bone lace, worth 6 or 7 pounds, and a paper of thread. But this was but once. It was a trick that would not serve again. It was always reckoned a safe job, when we heard of a new shop, and especially when the people were such as were not bred to shops. Such may depend upon it, that they will be visited once or twice at their beginning, and they must be very Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.